Good evening, folks. I'm Christian, and this is an Ice Age Farmer update. The extreme weather events around the world continue to pummel modern agriculture, and the losses are mounting. Let's take a look first on the U.S. East Coast here for Florence. I want to check in from their watchers. Record rainfall, catastrophic flash and river flooding, at last 18 deaths, and more than a million without power as Hurricane Florence hits the U.S. Florence made landfall along the coast of North Carolina near Wrightsville Beach on the 14th. It's been hanging out there for some time. The event is still not over. Flooding, mostly the problem is extreme flooding, tons of precipitation, also, of course, high winds. Florence produced up to 40 inches, 1,000 millimeters, of rain over parts of North Carolina from Thursday the 13th through the 17th, causing, quote, unprecedented and historic flooding. At least five locations in the state have already been exceeding the flooding that was produced by Hurricane Floyd 19 years ago, sort of the barometer of those sorts of events. With 3 months left to go, Wilmington, North Carolina, has already broken its 140-year record with 86.79 inches. Several other records enumerated here for rainfall. And it's having tons of rain. The media doesn't even care about, you know, finding human interest stories. They just want to blame Trump. And, of course, they blame climate deniers en masse. Those who deny it are complicit in the destruction. There is blood on your hands. We must act now. These are all the sorts of vitriol, the calls to jail climate deniers that I've been mentioning, fueling the calls for censorship. Let's not explore that right now. There's too much other stuff to talk about. Florence's fury, let's look at the agricultural effects, felt in cotton, tobacco fields of North Carolina. The heavy winds that accompanied Florence tore tobacco leaves from the plants and blew cotton lint onto the ground in a major producing area of North Carolina. As much as a fifth of those two crops in the fields may have been lost, 20%. There's also more hogs than any other state besides Iowa. We'd mentioned that in the days leading up to the storm, some of the preparations that were going on there. Excuse me. From feedandgrain.com, Florence still threatens crops in the Carolinas. Tropical storm Florence crawled through the Carolinas on Sunday at a whopping 2 miles an hour. A deluge is forecast. This is yesterday, so it's continuing. And more than 2.5 feet of rain has already fallen across North Carolina. It is expected to do an estimated $18 billion in damage. South Carolina crops take a hit, according to the agricultural commissioner. He's flying around in a copter looking at the damage. Timing is everything with a storm like Florence, and the timing was particularly bad for our cotton farmers who are telling us that their crops took a hit from the high winds. Yeah, lots of messages, folks checking in, farmers out there letting me know how they're doing. Also, some reports on Twitter that I found here from Mackenzie Bass. My thoughts are with all of the North Carolina farmers, including my old man, who lost their crops due to Hurricane Florence. A picture of her father's farm here looks pretty wet. A little humid. Now, I just want to mention this. It's not what I'm going to focus on. But we are seeing now that there's been an emergency declared on the East Coast in the Brunswick nuclear plant out there. We had watched, and I didn't cover it because I didn't want to fuel the speculation and the fear porn, frankly. But we had seen Michael Snyder document the federal drills that had gone on discussing the possibility that a large hurricane could cause damage to a nuclear power plant on the U.S. East Coast. Basically, an American Fukushima scenario is what was described here. And there was tons of predictive programming laid out across all sorts of controlled media, I would say. And now we're seeing some of that play out in, you know, the slow train wreck of reality. From the New York Times, toilet paper of record, Florence flooding limits road access to Duke nuclear plant. And then, as I said, indeed, later on today, the NRC filed this unusual event, an emergency being declared at the Brunswick nuclear reactor. I was able to find tweets, although I don't have them handy, from folks who are on the staff in the Brunswick plant. He said he's been there for 5 days. He smells a little fresh, and he's probably miserable, but things are currently fine there, at least according to that tweet, which was 6 hours ago. So we'll keep an eye on the situation. I'm not going to say this is, you know, oh my God, we said it was going to, because I didn't and I don't think this is going to happen. But it's disturbing, and what it does already to me indicate, and what I've talked about before, is that our infrastructure is designed for certain parameters. It's a very bespoke design to the way that the climate has been over the last 100 years in the modern maximum of relatively stable conditions on our planet that we've been enjoying. As the climate is now deviating from those parameters, our infrastructure, be it the bridges, the wind turbines, the solar farms, all of these things are departing from the conditions that they were built for. And you're going to see nuke plants going offline like we did in New Hampshire last year because of extreme cold. That was the reason cited. It got really cold and we had to turn off the nuke plant, or because of the extreme weather events like here. So again, let's hope this doesn't go anywhere and that they get that under control there and that the flooding dies down and everything's fine. I don't want to see an American Fukushima, and I don't think we will, but it's worth mentioning. And certainly at some point, this infrastructure will continue to crumble. You know, it becomes a matter of time at some point. Let's switch gears into Typhoon Mangkhut, leaving at least 108 people dead and more than 500,000 people affected in the Philippines. Known in the Philippines as Ambong, it made landfall in Cagayan on the 14th with wind speeds near 268 kilometers an hour, which is 167 miles per hour. That's a Cat 5, leaving a trail of destruction and 108 people dead or missing. It's the 15th strongest typhoon on record. It left key agricultural areas underwater. In fact, let's move on. The Philippines is now counting up the costs and extensive crop damages from the BBC, to say the least, is feared in the agricultural province. Moving on, I found this from CNN Philippines. The agriculture chief there says Ambong may damage 1.2 million hectares of rice and corn fields. The agriculture sector may suffer further from the onslaught of Ambong. This would translate, according to estimates, to 74 to 176,000 metric tons of crops lost. What would happen next month, clearly, is inflation will be pushed higher, according to the agricultural commissioner in the Philippines. Because that's what happens when you lose crops. The price goes up. Now that storm is continuing on. We see some nice subtle headline here from news.com.au. Death and destruction! Super typhoon on collision course with China. The most vicious storm this year is on its way there. Prepare for the worst, said Hong Kong Security Minister John Lee Kachiu. Thoughts and prayers to those folks in China. We'll keep an eye on the situation. For now, I want to look actually to Australia, where they enjoyed a magnitude 5.7 earthquake, a rare one in Western Australia there. Some folks in Perth I was talking to, like, what the hell is going on? Temperatures also in Australia are plunging. It's very cold right now. Are plunging up to 10 degrees below the average across the south. And not only is it safe to say that it's below average, but we have, again, a nice long list of records being broken. 24-year-old record in Victoria's Hunter Hill. 20-year record, minus 2.9. Record. What's going on with all that cold? Well, obviously, it's not good for the crops. The frost damage from the abc.net.au. Frost damage dashes farmers' hopes of record harvest as Perth shivers through a chilly night. Continuing, a record-breaking cold spell in Western Australia's agricultural heartland has shattered farmers' hopes of enjoying a bumper crop harvest. Temperatures dropped, recording its lowest ever temperature, minus 4.3 degrees. Farmers woke to discover heavy frost gripping their wheat and barley crops, which were expected to deliver merely a combined 14 million ton harvest this year. First impressions, it was obviously pretty severe. It wasn't just the shadows. Complete whiteout. And so it's not going to be a fun harvest, according to Scott Crosby, reporting major damage on the cereal crops. It's not all that's going on down there. Volunteers are banding together to knit. What just happened? volunteers are coming together to knit for cold folks who cannot afford to heat their homes, thanks to Australia's just absurdly damaged grid and the highest energy prices in the world down there. Folks are simply unable to afford to heat their homes. And then the other thing that's crazy going on right now down there, this is let's take a brief pause here for some high-octane speculation. There's a strawberry needle cases where folks are putting needles into strawberries so that you happen upon them and injure yourself. Deliberately contaminating needles, the needle contamination scandal engulfing the Australian strawberry industry in a series of deliberate acts designed to instill fear in the community. Now, this is just a weird, freaky thing, but it is worth noticing that food tampering is one of those things, and they're calling this out, and we're going to, in fact, where do they say? We might need to put metal detectors. Yeah, supermarkets are going to have to install metal detectors at the point of sale. So this is the high-octane speculation. Are there going to be a series of events as food scarcity becomes a problem where security is necessitated? You know, false food flag, right? Where there's people who are tampering with the food supply, and we have to install armed guards at Whole Foods to protect Jeff Bezos' food distribution. I don't know. I'm labeling it clearly as high-octane speculation. Let us now return to the world of complete fact, verifiable links below. Although here's another example of food being tampered with, being stolen. Virginia winery stunned after a thief overnight stole their entire grape harvest. We'd seen this in France as well. So it's becoming more common that food is a black market. There's a black market for food, and that's absolutely going to increase as food scarcity does as well. Okay, so returning back to, as I said, to verifiable, and here's the data from Australia. The crop, the grain forecast has dropped 12%. The periods of heavy drought that rocked eastern Australia this year have had their predicted effect. Damage to crops and livestock has destroyed a sizable proportion of the total grain crop. The year-over-year drop of 12%, winter grains, wheat, canola, barley, oats, etc. Okay, so what does that mean? Well, that means that Asia, who usually imports wheat, I mean, this is what we've been talking about, who usually imports wheat from Australia, is now having to look elsewhere in the world to substitute for that good. Asian flour millers are expected to seek rare wheat shipments from Argentina in the coming months as a second year of drought in traditional supplier, Australia, curbs supplies. At the moment, Asian wheat importers are buying from the Black Sea region, but the Ukraine and Russia are running out of their surplus supplies as well. They've been marking down their wheat yields every few weeks. So we're seeing this. We're seeing the world is starting to have to look around and source food from other places and increasingly having trouble in doing so. This is what I predicted we would see in my series of videos about peak food. And it's happening, and we're going to see nations shut down their exports to protect their own populations, and it's happening fast, folks. It's happening fast. As that happens in Asia, Chinese inflation picking up on the back of higher food prices. Rising food inflation was the key driver of higher inflation, according to Kevin Zee, the fixed income quant strategist at Commonwealth. Protracted bad weather, including heavy rain and typhoons in the coastline provinces, caused fresh vegetables, fruit, and egg prices to rise notably in August, which was, of course, going on in Europe due to the drought as well. A couple more crop losses that I wanted to hit here today. You can see them all at iceagefarmer.com/map. From Spain, the khaki production was falling almost a third, thanks to the frosts of late November last year, as well as the frosts and hailstorms recorded in spring and summer this year. We've entailed a reduction in Valencia's khaki production. For now, the total volume is expected to fall by more than a third. Frosts have affected 80% of the production, and it's been a problem as well. Here in Canada, Nova Scotia losing as much as half of its apple crop. Half. I don't get tired of these massive losses pointing directly at the truth that modern agriculture cannot tolerate. the changing climate. The shifts in weather and patterns and growing seasons that result from the changes that we're seeing in the sun's output and that have happened cyclically throughout time. Half of the apple crop lost in Nova Scotia. From Daniel's UPIC, Phil says, 99% of my crops died due to freezing temperatures in June. And let's leave it there. I think that says it all. This is, as I said, what happens time after time as the cycles of our sun's output affect climate on this planet, as well as human civilization as a result. You can see this here on wiki.iceagefarmer.com. I've compiled a list of the previous grand solar minima, and the empires that fall with them, including, for instance, the Great Famine of 1315, where during the wolf minimum, where there were heavy rains in Europe, and then a drought, and a massive famine that killed off about 10% of Europe's population. There is 10 to 25% of the population of many cities and towns died. Now, a lot of that is swept into the Black Plague death count that was just a few years later, right here. But this is the reality. Climate cycles, food scarcity on this planet. Start taking steps to ensure your own family's security and your food production in the times ahead, folks, because this is real and it's getting real fast. And that's the way forward here. That's the way to feel good about the situation, is to not mind if modern agriculture fails, is to be that confident in your own abilities. So I hope you're taking steps every day. Let me know how you are doing. Let me know how that's going. I'll be sharing more information both on the wiki, on the Ice Age Farmer crop loss map, and here on YouTube, BitChute, DTube, wherever I can get this information out, you will find me. Thanks for watching, folks. I hope you got something out of the video. Please pass it on to other people so that they can learn about the natural cycles of climate and the resulting risks to our lives right now. It's very real. Thanks also to my Patreon supporters. Take care, folks.